Good morning. Glad to see everybody here today. I have the privilege of going through the announcements with you today. Brother Robert is a guest speaker today at the Spring Spiritual Renewal at First Baptist Church in Refugio. This is something that he informed us deacons several months ago that he would be doing today. This Thursday, May 5th at 6 p.m., the National Day of Prayer service will be happening on the courthouse lawn. Next Sunday, May 8th, which is Mother's Day, we'll also be honoring our graduating high school seniors, and there will also be a GA fundraiser bake sale after Sunday school and then after the late worship service. Revival starts on May 15th and goes through Wednesday, May 18th. Our guest speaker is Dr. Brad McLean, and the music leader will be Gary Coven. We will have one morning service for that morning, starting at 10:45, which follows Sunday school, of course, at 9:30, then an evening service at 5:30. And also, since we're going to go ahead and go to one service that morning for the revival service, we're going to go ahead and just continue our one service after that, instead of going back to two, then back to one again. So starting on May 15th, we will go to one morning service. And also, Gary has asked for us to have a revival choir. So if you're interested in singing in the revival choir, please sign up at the Welcome Center. And there is a paper up there. Just put your name and phone number down. Or you can call the church office and sign up. And we will give you rehearsal times later. But we're looking at probably doing a rehearsal on Saturday, May 14th. We just don't have the information from Gary yet, but as soon as we do, we'll be passing it along to those of you that would like to take part in that. Also, there's many other announcements in your bulletin. Please read through those at your convenience. And again, we're glad to have you. And at this time, I'd like to ask Deacon Buzzy Whitley to come and offer our prayer. And then we'll turn it over to Alec.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for this time to be here this morning, be together. We thank you for each one that's here. We ask that you be with all those that could not be here for various reasons, for illness or travel or whatever it may be. We just ask you return them to us safely. We ask also that you be with Brother Robert as he leads in Refugio this week in the revival. Just bless him, bless that church. We ask that you be with our church. Just give us a spirit. Give us a spirit in tune with the Holy Spirit. We just ask for a unity. We ask for a joining of hearts and minds in the service of bringing the word of Jesus Christ to our members, our community. We ask that you be with this service this morning. Just bless Brother Williams as he leads us. We're thankful that he could be here this morning. We ask that you be with us in all ways. We're thankful for the ways you have sustained this church. Just continue to lead and guide us. We ask, Lord, that you forgive us in all the ways that we have failed. We ask your blessings on this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Church, will you stand with me as we sing to the Lord this morning? So bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name.
The sun comes up, it's a new day.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. You're rich in love, slow to anger. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. My soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. Oh, I will worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your holy name.
Never before, oh my soul.
Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. I will worship Your holy name. God, I worship Your holy name.
Church, in Isaiah chapter 55, the Lord says this through the prophet. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So often we can become confused by the way life goes, whether it be our personal life, at home, work, church, whatever it might be. We like to make our own paths. And my own personal experience is that looking back on how life has gone, far more of the way things happened were not at all what I planned, not at all the way that I thought they should go, because the Lord is the one who is in control. And it is Him who, He is the one who has formed all things. His thoughts are higher than ours, and His ways are higher than ours. And so whenever life doesn't go our way, we can tend to get really confused and discouraged because that's the way the enemy likes to twist things. But I want us to be encouraged by what Paul says in Romans 8. He says, "We know that all things the Lord works together for the good of those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he called. And those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified." Church, we can be encouraged by this because though we can be confused, though we can be discouraged by when things don't go our way, we have a God who knows. He has set the foundations. He has planned all things, and he knows what he's doing. And so even when we don't understand it, he does. He has called us his own, not to take us halfway through the race and then just leave us to our own devices. He has called us his own to take us on to eternity. And that is our hope, that we will see the victory, that we will see all things made new as his children. So be encouraged this morning, church, as we continue to sing.
Promise you've ever made, Jesus. Jesus, you are unfailing. Yes, Jesus, you are unfailing. Oh, Jesus, you are unfailing. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God. Sinners to reclaim, alleluia, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rule, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Alleluia, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Alleluia, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Alleluia, what a Savior. He comes again, our glorious King. When he comes, our glorious King, all the ransomed home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Alleluia, what a
What a Savior indeed, Lord God Almighty. You have made all things come to be in regard to our salvation. Lord God, you are the pioneer of resurrection. We follow you, dear God. Some will go one at a time, and others, dear God, know not when, will meet you in the air. Father God, we long to be with you. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We ask, Father, that you bring the message to your messenger, that he might share it with us, dear God, words from your lips to his ears, from his lips to ours. Father, move our hearts, move our wills to do as you would have. And Father, take this offering, Lord God, and do a work in your church. We pray that is fitting in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We bow. Come, Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh, Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. We bow our hearts. We bend our knees. Oh, Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh, Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks. That seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. So give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob.
Lord our God, once again, we just thank you that you have allowed us to be here this morning. That you have made this day, and you have called your people to gather. You've made yourself known to us so that we might know our Creator God. Not just know him as a Creator, but as our Lord and Savior. And Lord, you've called us to gather so that we might remind one another of that by singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And also opening your word to receive its truth. So now, Lord, again, we just ask your blessing and your wisdom and your Holy Spirit's power to be within Brother Tim as he comes and brings a message from your word. Lord, would you give us open ears to hear it, open eyes to see the truth of your word, and minds to understand and hearts to receive it. And to adore it. And Lord, for each and every individual in this room, believer and non-believer, would you not allow any to leave this place unchanged? for the believer, that we would be further made into your image, further sanctified by the truth of your word. For the unbeliever, that they would see the truth of who you are, that they might know you as Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, we pray all of these things in your name, for your glory and your kingdom above all else. Amen.
Good morning. It is good to be with you. I told Alec earlier, this morning I got up and I read Psalm 24 in my time with the Lord. And that psalm is the basis of this last song that Alec just sang. And as soon as I read that, that song began playing in my mind. And then when he came here and he sang it right before I got up to preach, I said, I'm supposed to be here today. There is something that God has in work, and I hope you sense that and know that as well. I come today from Stitch Ministries or South Texas Children's Home to say thanks. Thank you for being a church that is a partner like very few churches in our entire state. It was given to us so faithfully and given so well, not only as a church, but many of you as individuals, and you've gone with us on mission trips, and you've helped us in many ways. You're going to see a video in just a little bit that will give you an idea, because I know anytime I come and speak to a church, and I'm doing this pretty much every Sunday, that there are a group of people who know exactly what I'm talking about, and people who have no idea what I'm talking about. Stitch Ministries, is that a quilting ministry? No. It stands for South Texas Children's Home. And your church has been a partner with us almost since the very beginning. I bring an invitation to you because we are now celebrating our 70th year of existence. And so we're going to have a celebration in the month of May. Yes, it is the same week as your revival. It is the same week as graduations and all kinds of things. But nevertheless, we would love to have you come at all of our locations where we do ministry. And we do ministry from Houston, San Antonio, Corpus Christi, Victoria, all the way down to the Rio Grande Valley now. We would love to have you come to one of those locations, but let me just give you a few close-by things. On Tuesday, May 17th at 4 o'clock, we're going to have an open house at what will be our new building. It's not completed yet, but we have a new building that's going in Victoria that will be our counseling offices for our family counseling. We see thousands of people every year, and licensed professional counselors do their work in biblical counseling all across the state of Texas. With people all over, even though we're here in South Texas, and Victoria's is your nearest one, and we'd love to see help you to see what's going on there and what we're able to do and how you have helped us to do that. Friday the 20th, we're going to have our big celebration on our main campus that you'll see a video of in just a little bit, where we're going to have our Singing Men of South Texas. We're going to have barbecue meal. All of it will begin at 5:30. You'll be able to see and celebrate what God has been doing over these past 70 years. And then on Saturday the 21st at our newest location, right up 111 in Yoakum, Texas, at the Blue Bonnet, what was the Blue Bonnet Youth Ranch. It is now a home for families that we run, and so we'd love to have you come from 11 to 1:30 there for an open house. I've got plenty of information on these things, so if you want to see me afterwards, I see that Brother Robert has already posted some things around on your bulletin boards, but we would love to have you come, so I bring you that thanks and that invitation. And again, we're going to give you a real quick tour of what we call the Booth Campus. We got started in 1952 because there was a childless, widowed school teacher who loved children and was never able to have children. And she began to pray, God, who do I leave my brush country ranch to? And God began to place upon her heart, you need to start a children's home out here in the brush. Now, when I say out in the brush, our landmark is we're 8 miles from the Dairy Queen in Pettus, Texas. That means we're in the brush, okay? And yet God has expanded that so that there's now over 100 of us on staff. There's 9 different ministries. But right now you'll get to see a tour of our main campus where our children's home got started, where kids are still there, and let's watch this together. So again, you had a hand in all that you just saw. Your church has helped us through the years, brick by brick, kid by kid, bowl of oatmeal by bowl of oatmeal, to help make a difference in kids' lives and change kids' lives. So thank you for that help. Thank you for the ongoing help that you provide to us in this area. And as we worked with people who are dealing with mental health crisis. My wife is a STITCH counselor, a licensed professional counselor in Victoria, and the need is somewhat overwhelming right now. And so our new office, we hope, will be a place where people can go and find healing and hope. And thank you for being our support in that. Now, let me switch gears, because Brother Robert has asked me to come here today and to share with you a word from God's Word. So let me invite you to get your Bible out, and let's turn to John 21. John 21. John 21, we'll begin reading in verse 15, but let me kind of set the stage on this, because we're just going to kind of jump in the middle of the story, take a snippet out of it, look at that, and break it down. What's happened? Well, it would be kind of the timing of the way things are, that this might be something that would be happening right about now if Jesus were raised this past Easter. Because this is something that happened while he was still here on earth, before he ascended into heaven, after the resurrection, this thing with Peter. You know the story. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, Jesus said, "You're all going to run and leave me." And Peter says, "No, not me, Lord. They may all bail, but I am not. I'll be with you to death." And Jesus said, "Before the cock crows in the morning, you will deny me three times." No way. You know how the story progresses and how Jesus is arrested, and Peter does follow, but there in the place where Jesus is going under trial, he denies that he knows Jesus to a little servant girl, and then to others. And then the cock crows, and he remembers Jesus' word. He has been so focused on what he's going to do for Jesus, he doesn't realize what he's done to hurt Jesus. And so there is this unspoken time that we know nothing about, but we can only imagine the pain that he went through and what he's dealing with and the brokenness that he is experiencing. And then ladies come on that Sunday morning and say, "The tomb is empty. We've seen an angel." They say he is risen. And he and John look at each other and they take off and they run. And they run all the way to the tomb. And John, the younger one, beats him there. But Peter runs straight past him and into the tomb and sees that there is no body there. And then Jesus does appear to them. But so that they get this idea, "I'm not just connected to this place or this one time. I want you to go to Galilee and you're going to see me again there." So they go up and there's not much to do. And so what do fishermen do? They go fishing. So they fished all night and they've caught nothing. And as they're beginning to pack in and give up for the day or for the night and really face who knows what waiting on Jesus, there's a voice that calls out from the shore. They can't see who it is, but a man says, "You got any fish?" "No, we don't have any fish." "Throw your net over on the right side of the boat." And I'm sure they looked at each other. And somebody does it. And immediately it fills up with fish. And Peter recalls a time 3 years ago that this very same thing happened. The day that Jesus called him to be his disciples. That time, that instance. And he realizes that is the Lord. He has done it again. And Peter, who has taken off most of his clothes to work with wet nets and through the night, puts his clothes back on to jump into the water to swim to shore to be with Jesus. And then he gets there and it's kind of like, what do you say to somebody you've denied three times? Who told you you were going to do it? But when they get to the shore, they find out Jesus has fixed them breakfast. Breakfast for fishless fishermen. And that's where we pick up the story in verse 15 of John chapter 21. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, now apparently he kind of takes him on a little walk away from the others. You see that if you read on through the story. And he doesn't call him Simon Peter, he calls him Simon, son of John. That's his old hometown name, Simon, son of John. "Do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you that when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone will dress you and will lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death that Peter would glorify God, by which Peter would glorify God. Perhaps it has just taken place when John is writing this. We don't know. But he records this. Then he said to him, follow me. Lord, we come here today and we pray that we would hear that call upon our own lives, that we would understand that this love relationship that we have with you is the most important, most vital thing in all of life, in all of eternity. Help us not to miss it. And we pray, Lord, today for Brother Robert and the folks at Refugio as they close their time, that you will bless that and that you will move there and you will help all of us to sense as your body, as your people, as your church, where you're calling us to follow you. Help us to do that right here, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So what's happening here? One of the things that I see is there is this sense of brokenness in Peter's life. And by brokenness, I mean that place where our sin, other people's sin, and everything that we don't want to happen, yet we're trying to make something happen, all collide together, and it all goes wrong. And we realize we're messed up, and we realize this is not working. And Peter is at that place. The devotion he thought he had, the strength he thought he had been called the rock, he had been called the one who was going to be the one who built the church, but yet he had seen how he failed, and he stumbled. And there is this sense of brokenness. And what does he do with it? Peter had never been in for a loss of words, yet he comes to the shore, and there's Jesus, and we don't record anything that Peter said to Jesus. But thank goodness we have things that Jesus said to Peter. Because what we're going to look at today is what happens in our brokenness when we realize that we're messed up, when we're broken. And even in our very best efforts in trying to do something for God, we often do it of our own strength. We often do it our own way, and we get in the way of what he wants to do, and we hurt the cause of Christ. And Peter was at that place. It was not so much that he had tried to do wrong. He was running from God. He was trying to stay with God, but by his own strength, and he had failed, and he had hurt the cause of Christ. And he'd hurt Christ himself. Here's what we do. We focus on Jesus, and we focus on what he does. And we know that he is still the same. He is still the same God. He is still the same one who walked there by that shore with them, who fed them breakfast, and he would do the same for us. So here's how this works and here's how this looks. What does Jesus do with our brokenness? He restores us. There is this process of restoration that I want us just to see some things about today and take home with us today. And the first thing to see is that in this brokenness that we all end up in, Jesus takes the initiative to restore, to bring about restoration. He begins that. He seeks us in our brokenness. He comes to us in our brokenness. Jesus, master of the universe, Lord of sin and death, could have been anywhere, at any place, at any time, and he chose to be on the side of the Sea of Galilee with fishless fishermen who are frustrated, who have failed, who are in a mess, and fix them breakfast and have a talk with them and begin this process of restoring Peter. Let me just say this. If you are in a place where you realize and you resonate, and I don't have to explain what brokenness is to you, Jesus is looking for you. And it may be your whole life, and it may be this one area of life. It may be this one sin. It may be this one problem. It may be this one area where you keep being tripped up or where you've fallen recently, or you've said, I will never do that, and you did it again. Jesus is looking for you today. He wants to talk with you today. He wants to meet with you today. Because he is the one who can fix this brokenness and we can't. And he is the one who can restore and we can't. He is reaching out to you just as he reached out to Peter as he appeared that day. He wants to appear to us. Whether it's to deal with our anger, whether it's to deal with our sinfulness, our waywardness, our just failure to do his will his way. He wants to meet with us and to restore and bring us to a place where we're made right again. Now, I bring all of that up, and I showed you that video, yes, to show you the place, but I also want to show you those two kids. Because one of the things I found, and in some of my background, is I was a pastor at First Baptist Church in Kennedy, and I was a pastor to some of those kids in another era, in another day, for about 9 years, and I watched what God did there in them. And then I've been involved ever since then, and about 6 years ago, I came to this position from being a pastor to work with pastors and with churches on behalf of the children's home, and I continue to see what God does. And it's a very similar thing, is that God restores broken kids and broken families, and he does things that we can't do in this process of restoration. Let me just tell you a little bit about D-Ray. Young man you saw in the video. D-Ray's story is very typical. D-Ray's mom had a boyfriend. Things were not going good in the family. The state stepped in, took the kids away, gave them to the grandmother. The grandmother is not physically able to take care of young kids, and she finds a place like us. And we don't take custody of anybody. We don't charge for any of our ministry. She found this place where D-Ray could go, and he could be raised, and he could have the kind of life and offer things that she couldn't offer, and find things that he really needed to be a part of, and mainly to find Jesus. And D-Ray now is one of those kids that's in college. This video's over a year old. They were in seniors in high school when it was made. And he is a student at Houston Baptist University right now. One of those kids on scholarship. I really can't tell you Edna's story because it's just too horrible. It's too horrific. I couldn't mention it. I couldn't talk to you all about that in this setting, in this place. But let me just say, these two kids, both of them, have already overcome more stuff in their life than I've ever had to in my entire lifetime. And what we see happening is God looks for those who are broken to restore. And what I see happening often in these kids, and not every kid is a success story, but in the kids that are a success story, is they realize, I am broken. I come from a broken family. I come from a broken place. I don't know how to be whole. And it's not that Stitch Ministries does such a great job. We just provide this place where the God who is seeking them, they can find him, and they can hear about him, and they can see his work. He does an amazing job. Both Edna and her older brother and sister came to us far, far behind academically and far behind socially and in every other skill. We are their only family. They have no other family. They'll never see any blood kin again. And yet, she is in college and her two older siblings are in graduate school and following the Lord. What happened? He sought them. And they were not afraid to admit, we are broken. When we as God's people, when we are people, we find, and I've been in church all my life, and I've dealt with that. And one of the reasons we don't always see the power that we see other people have is that we don't always admit how broken we are. And when we really truly admit that, when we truly come to him and say, God, I don't need a little bit of help. I don't need you to help me fulfill my goals. I don't need you to have my best life. I am broken. I have no hope unless you do something. As Oswald Chambers said in a devotional I read not too long ago, God will move heaven and earth for that soul. And willing to admit that and willing to bring that to him. And that's one of the things I learned from these kids. They're not afraid to admit. It is just open honesty. It's childlike faith to say, I am broken, and I believe Jesus is the only thing that can fix me. Not help me a little bit, not help me get better. I need a Savior. And if you're here today, and if you're broken, that's what you need to say, because what he wants to do is to be your Savior. He's not come here seeking you to help you get to your goals or to help you live better. He has come here to change you. And to change your life, and to give you a new life, and his life in you. And that's what he wants to do. If you're willing to admit that you're broken, that's where it comes. He begins to seek us in this. How does this really work, though? It's interesting how we see this play out with Peter's life and what Jesus says to him and what he would say to us. And in essence, it's this. After we see that Jesus seeks us in our brokenness, he initiates this process, that the process really takes place when I understand he's asking me to be obedient to a person. Not obedient to a cause, not obedient to a thought, not obedient to ideas, not obedient to my own self or to my own goals, but obedient to him. And that's why when Jesus comes to Peter, he takes him back and he takes him to this place. And he asks him questions. Do you love me? Do you love me? Now, those of you who know the Bible and have been in church, you've heard sermons on this, that there's different words that Peter and Jesus are using here for love. In English, we have one word for love. I love my wife. I love Bluebell ice cream. They are not the same thing, okay? It's a different kind of love. But I only have that one word. Jesus is using a word that maybe you've heard, agape. It is the word that we now think of as the God type of love, the love that God gives for us, a self-sacrificing love. We don't know exactly what all it meant to Peter in that day and that time because it means so much because Jesus changed that word, and that's part of our struggle with what does it really mean? Well, the way Peter responds is, Lord, I love you like a brother. And maybe Peter is saying that is the best I know how to do is to love you like a brother. But they go back and forth in that, agape and phileo, the word we get, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. But in that third time where Jesus asks him, do you love me? He goes down to Peter's level and uses Peter's word. Peter, do you really love me as a brother? And that's why Peter is hurt. He says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus takes him to the place where he has to mend and where the problem is, because the problem is a heart problem. And the question is not, Peter, have you learned your lesson? Peter, are you ever going to do this again? Peter, didn't I tell you so? It's not any of those questions that sometimes in our guilt and our shame and our fumbling, we hear. We need to hear what Jesus really did ask somebody in that situation. Do you love me? Because everything's got to be based on that. Everything's going to work on this. It's going to stand or fall on that one thing. Do you love me? Do you really love me? And when Peter answers, yes, you know that I love you, Jesus gives him something. Yes, I've got an assignment for you. Something for you to focus on now. Take care of my sheep. Tend to my lambs. But he gives him these two words, follow me. Now, let me just say a few things that may help us in this. Years ago, I heard in a sermon, and it's been pretty well true. I didn't know whether to believe it or not, but pretty much anywhere in the Bible where God or Jesus asks a question of somebody, that person knows the answer. Jesus is not trying to get them to a state of confusion or to press them to a place just of a test to try to pass it. He is trying to get them to confess something that they already know. Do you love me? And that's what he was doing with Peter. That's what he does with us. Now, you look at the author of confusion, sometimes he will ask a question that we're not sure about the answer to. The serpent in the garden asked Eve, okay, what did God really say now? Did he really say you couldn't do this? Oh, there's other questions. Wasn't sure the answer to. When God asks us a question, we know the answer to. It's not for confusion, it's for confession. And that's why Jesus was asking that of him, and he asks that of us, do you love me? Follow me then. Follow me. I have people for you to take care of. I have a job for you to do, not of your own, not of your own making, but mine. Take care of my sheep, tend to my flock, but follow me. It all comes very, very simple and very, very clear because that's where Peter needs it to come and where we needed to come as well. To understand what God would really have us to do and not what we are trying to do for God, but what he wants to do through us. I want you to follow me. I want you to take care of my lambs. I want you to take care of these people that I've come and died for. Years ago, I read this in a church newsletter, and I wrote it down, and it stayed with me ever since college. Eugene Price wrote this, "The only direct statement I can grasp when my heart is breaking and when my world is falling apart is follow me. I cannot understand life because life is not always understandable, but I can always grasp, follow me. And if in your brokenness today, and in our struggle today, and in our trouble today, and in our uncertainty today, what does Jesus ask of us? Two words. Follow me. Follow me. Out of your love for me, follow me. That's where it starts. That's where it begins. That's where it goes to. And that's where it's got to keep going. Follow me. It is a heart issue, not a head issue. It is something that we have to come to a place of understanding. This is what he's saying to me. And I have to answer him. And it is a relationship. And it's not a religion. It is something that is real and it's personal. And where he restores me is when I am just simply obedient to a person, not to some cause or not to some effort or not to something that I'm trying to make happen, but something that he wants to have happen in my life and let me in on. Just follow me. That's all I'm ever going to ask you to do. You won't have to go before me, without me, behind me, apart from me. Just follow me. That's where restoration takes place, is when we lay all these other things aside and we begin to do that. And maybe that's what he's calling you to do today. Real quickly, this other thing. Where do we see this taking, Peter? What happens in life when we do this? When we are truly obedient to a person and we accept that he is trying to reach us, to restore us, to make something right in us that is broken that we cannot fix, he refocuses us. He changes the focus of our lives. Peter, like you and me, like everyone, when we failed, we get focused on ourselves. And so you hear him say over and over these three times for each time that he had disobeyed and where he had denied, "Do you love me?" "Yes." "Follow me. Follow me." Peter had to get the focus off of himself. And Jesus had to get it onto other things. Now, here's how that change of focus works. I talked to somebody about this after the last service. And this statement is not original to me. I don't know where it came from, but it's been around a long, long time. That this change that he brings, this humility, this looking at life in a new way, is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And that's where he wanted and had to take Peter. Stop thinking about yourself and what you've done, what you've messed up, and what you're going to try to do to undo it. I want you to stop thinking less of yourself. I want to think you to think of who I came and died for more. My lambs, my sheep, those who are with me. And that's why he said three times, "Feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs." What is he doing? He's turning into his hands the ones he lived a sinless life for, that he died upon the cross for, that he took all of their sin upon, that this whole cause, everything that Jesus had done to this point in his work, he turns into the hands and gives to the hands of Peter. And said, "This is what you are going to do for me. Feed my sheep." And it would be just a few short days. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit would come and there was confusion, there were people who were complaining and people who were arguing, Peter would get up in front of all of them, and this fisherman would quote the prophet Joel and would preach a sermon where 3,000 people would come to believe that Jesus was the Savior, was the Son of God. In one time, and Peter would see, this is what he meant. This is why I'm supposed to be here. This is what happens when I follow him. Now, what does he call us to do? He calls us in our brokenness to connect with other people's brokenness and point them to the Savior we found in our brokenness. One of the things I learned from these kids, too, and another reason I wanted you to see is D-Ray and Edna, is because I see this happen. It's a pattern in many of the kids is they grow up and they want to do something. And it's not that we have told them they have to do this and they need to do this. God just leads them to this. I want to help. I want to do something to give back. I want to change other people's lives. D-Ray is the only kid I know that in high school passed his emergency medical technician degree or certification. He is an EMT in high school. He is in college because he wants to help people maybe in some medical field in some way. Edna will tell you that she is going on to get her master's to become a social worker to work with abused children because she understands. She knows. Nobody told her. This is how it works. But when God restores, when he begins to change, He leads people to that path of healing for themselves and for others. And he did what he did for Peter. Here's what I came for. It's in your hands. Feed my sheep. Tend to my lambs. Take care of these that I died for. And that's what he calls us to do as well. Let me just ask you to use your imagination for just a moment as we close. Suppose you're there on that beach that day, and Jesus is there, the risen Lord. But he asks you, come with me. And you walk away from the others for a little bit, away from earshot, and he walks with you for a little while, and then he turns and he takes a step in front of you to get into your eyes and to look you in the eyes and ask this, do you love me more than these? And in your heart in that moment, you know what those these are. It's everything that's been in the way. How you answer him. How are you going to answer him? That determines your life. That determines eternity. That determines so many things. As we get back to that place of, do we really love him? Then feed my sheep. Follow me. It's not complicated, but it takes courage. And are you ready to do that today? Father, we come today and we realize that we are messed up people in a messed up world. And when we are honest, we are part of messed up people and messed up churches. But you come to restore and to make things right that we cannot fix. And you want to do that today. In these people. In us. In this place. In this time. So Father, give us the courage to answer when you ask that question. And to realize these more than these are the things we need to lay aside now for the one simple thing of just simply following Jesus because we love him. Help us in this moment to be guided by that and nothing else. Help us in this moment to respond to you and nothing else. And help us in this moment to find the life that you want to give in Jesus and nothing else. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Now, I know I'm a guest preacher, but I'm going to be here at the front. Others from your church are going to be here at the front. This is a chance for you to pray to somebody or with somebody you're not going to see at HEB this week. And that's okay. Maybe there's business you need to do with God today, where you are or with somebody else. But today, let's get it done. Let's stand together. Let's follow him.
Sadness from wherever you've been. Come broken hearted, let a rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. Oh, I'm broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, this rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down. down your shame. And oh, I'm broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurts, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are, fall in his arms, come as you are. There's joy for the morning, oh sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. Oh, I'm broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you
Lord, thank you that you offer that invitation to come as we are. You don't wait for us to clean up our act. You don't wait for us to know the Bible forwards and backwards. You don't require that of us. You take the initiative. You come to us because there's no other way. So, Lord, we just thank you for the abundance of your loving kindness that you have lavished on us. We've done nothing to earn it or deserve it. And when we try and think about it, it is truly a mystery why you would love us. But you do. And so we thank you. Lord, would you continue to draw us more and more to you every moment, every day, that we might be transformed from one degree to another into your image, and that we would answer the call that you've given to us. Lord, we pray all these things in your precious name. Amen. Well, church, be sure before you leave to come by and thank Brother Tim for coming and being here with us and offering the message this morning. But as we prepare to go, we're going to sing this benediction together now to him.
Now to him who is able to keep you from falling, to him who will keep you to the end, to him be the glory, the honor and power forever and ever. Amen. Forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, church. Have a wonderful week.